The U.S. Department of Defense just gave one of America's leading AI companies a 48-hour ultimatum. Drop your safety guardrails, or we'll treat you like a foreign adversary. That's not a hypothetical. That's happening right now, with a deadline this Friday at 5 o'clock. Welcome to AI in 20 for the week of February 25, 2026. I'm Bennett, your host.
And I'm Aaron, your co-host. What a week. We've got a Pentagon standoff, a $100 billion chip deal, accusations of industrial espionage, and an entire sector of the stock market in freefall. Let's get into it.
This was the week AI's ethical, financial, and geopolitical tensions all came to a head at once. We've got a lot to cover, so let's start with the story that has everyone talking. So the story of the week. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has issued Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei an ultimatum. By Friday at 5:01 p.m. Eastern, Anthropic must agree to make Claude available for, and I'm quoting here, all lawful purposes without restriction. That includes weapons development, intelligence collection, and battlefield operations. If they refuse, the Pentagon will designate Anthropic a supply chain risk. Aaron, that designation is normally reserved for companies like Huawei.
Right, and that's the part that should make everyone sit up. A supply chain risk designation doesn't just void Anthropic's $200 million DoD contract. It forces every single Pentagon contractor to certify they don't use Claude in any military work. That's a death sentence for Anthropic's government business and a serious stain on their commercial reputation. You're essentially being labeled a national security threat by your own government.
And the backdrop here matters. This dispute was partly triggered when Anthropic questioned how Claude was being used through its Palantir partnership, specifically during a military operation in Venezuela. Anthropic says it has two red lines it won't cross: mass surveillance of American citizens and fully autonomous weapons systems. Everything else, they say they're willing to negotiate on.
And look, those are pretty reasonable red lines. Mass surveillance of your own citizens and autonomous kill decisions. That's not exactly a radical position. But what's happened is the Pentagon has framed this as an all-or-nothing demand. And here's the competitive angle that makes this really interesting. Elon Musk's xAI signed a deal to deploy Grok in the Pentagon's classified systems. And xAI agreed to the all lawful purposes standard without any reservations.
So you've got the founder of xAI, who also runs Doge, inside the federal government, whose AI company is now the Pentagon's preferred partner. The conflict of interest is hard to ignore.
It's more than hard to ignore, Bennett. It's structurally concerning. You have someone with enormous influence over government technology procurement whose own company directly benefits when a competitor gets blacklisted. Pentagon CTO Emil Michael publicly told Anthropic to cross the Rubicon. That's not subtle language. And I'll say this. Even if you think Anthropic's safety commitments are overly cautious, using the supply chain risk designation against a domestic company as a coercion tool is a terrible precedent. That mechanism exists for foreign adversaries. Turning it inward changes the relationship between government and the private sector in a way that should worry everyone, regardless of where you fall on AI safety.
There are reports that Anthropic has already quietly scaled back some of its safety commitments over the past year, just to remain competitive. So even the company that built its entire brand around responsible AI is feeling the squeeze.
And that's really the story here. It's not just about one contract or one deadline. It's about whether any company in this industry can hold ethical lines when the market rewards compliance and the government demands it. The answer, increasingly, seems to be no. Or at least, not without paying an enormous price.
We should know the outcome by Friday evening. We'll be watching closely. Let's move into the week in AI. And we're going to start with the money, because the numbers this week were staggering. Meta announced a 5-year chip deal with AMD, worth up to $100
billion. $100 billion, with a B, for AMD MI450 series GPUs. And this comes just 2 weeks after Meta signed a multi-billion-dollar deal with NVIDIA for Blackwell and Rubin chips. So Meta is now running two massive parallel chip supply chains.
And as part of this deal, AMD issued Meta a performance-based warrant for up to 160 million shares at a penny per share. That's roughly 10% of AMD, vesting as deliveries hit milestones. So Meta is essentially becoming one of AMD's largest shareholders.
This is strategic diversification on an unprecedented scale. Meta is telling NVIDIA, "We love your chips, but we're not going to be dependent on you." And it validates AMD as a legitimate competitor in the AI accelerator market, which Lisa Su has been working toward for years. Meta is framing all of this around what they're calling personal superintelligence, advanced AI tailored to individual users. Their CapEx for 2026 alone is $135 billion.
To put the infrastructure spending in context, Meta, Microsoft, Amazon, and Alphabet are collectively spending an estimated $650 billion on data centers this year.
That's more than the GDP of most countries. And it's creating real, physical-world bottlenecks. There's a memory chip crisis right now. DRAM prices surged 80 to 90% in the first quarter because memory makers have diverted production to HBM chips for AI GPUs. Intel's CEO says the shortage persists until at least 2028. Tesla, Apple, and Lenovo are all warning about constrained production of consumer electronics because the AI infrastructure build-out is consuming the world's chip supply.
And NVIDIA reported earnings today. Wall Street was expecting around $66 billion in quarterly revenue, up 67% year over year.
NVIDIA's results are really the bellwether for this entire AI infrastructure supercycle. Every major AI company's financial model is downstream of what Jensen Huang says on that earnings call. The Blackwell ramp now accounts for 2/3 of data center revenue, and they've confirmed Vera Rubin, the next-generation platform promising tenfold inference cost reduction, goes into full production in the second half of this year.
Staying with Anthropic for a moment, two big stories beyond the Pentagon standoff. First, Anthropic today announced the acquisition of Vercept, a Seattle startup specializing in vision-based computer automation. The team came out of the Allen Institute for AI. They built an app called Vi that lets you control your Mac through natural language.
This is Anthropic doubling down on computer use. Claude's accuracy on desktop automation benchmarks has gone from under 15% in late 2024 to over 72% with Sonnet 4.6. Vercept's team brings deep expertise in visual understanding of user interfaces. And here's what caught my attention. UiPath stock dropped on the news. The market immediately recognized that AI-native computer use is a direct threat to the traditional robotic process automation industry. That's a multi-billion-dollar sector that suddenly looks vulnerable.
The other Anthropic story is arguably even bigger. They publicly accused three Chinese AI labs, DeepSeek, Moonshot, and Minimax, of conducting what they called industrial-scale distillation campaigns against Claude.
The numbers are extraordinary. Over 24,000 fake accounts generating roughly 16 million interactions. DeepSeek ran 150,000 interactions targeting reasoning capabilities. Moonshot ran 3.4 million exchanges focused on tool use and coding. Minimax conducted 13 million exchanges targeting agentic coding. They bypassed geographic restrictions using proxy services, with one cluster operating tens of thousands of accounts simultaneously.
So essentially, these Chinese labs were systematically feeding Claude prompts and harvesting the outputs to train their own models.
That's exactly what distillation is. You use a more capable model's outputs as training data for your own model. And look, I'm not surprised. This is consistent with a pattern we've seen from Chinese AI labs for years. They release models with impressive benchmarks at a fraction of the cost, and people marvel at the efficiency. but if a significant portion of that capability was effectively copied from Western frontier models through systematic extraction, the efficiency story looks very different. It's not innovation, it's appropriation.
Now, some people have pointed out the irony that Anthropic itself trained Claude on vast amounts of internet data without explicit permission.
There's a meaningful difference between training on publicly available web data, which every AI lab does, and creating 24,000 fake accounts to systematically extract a competitor's proprietary model outputs. One is standard practice, the other is industrial espionage. And this matters for the DeepSeek V4 conversation. That model is supposedly imminent, but missed its mid-February launch window. If V4 delivers on its benchmarks and was partly trained on stolen Claude outputs, every performance claim needs an asterisk.
Let's talk about what's happening in the software market, because there's a word making the rounds. The SaaSpocalypse.
It's dramatic, but the numbers back it up. Over $1 trillion has been wiped from software company valuations in 2026 alone. JP Morgan thinks it could hit $2 trillion. Workday just fell 10% to a 52-week low despite beating earnings estimates. Salesforce is down 38% since January.
And the core fear is that AI agents are dismantling the per-seat licensing model that powered two decades of SaaS growth. If one AI agent can do the work of 10 to 15 employees, you don't need 10 to 15 software licenses.
Exactly. And two things happened this week that poured gasoline on this fire. First, OpenAI announced what they're calling Frontier Alliances, multi-year partnerships with McKinsey, Boston Consulting Group, Accenture, and Capgemini. Those four firms collectively guide IT strategy for most of the Fortune 500. Each one is building dedicated practice groups certified on OpenAI technology, with OpenAI engineers embedding directly in client engagements.
That's the Salesforce playbook from 15 years ago. Get the consultants trained on your platform, and switching costs become enormous.
It's a brilliant moat-building strategy, and it positions OpenAI as the default enterprise AI platform. But if you're a SaaS vendor, this is terrifying. The world's biggest consultancies are now actively deploying AI agents that replace the workflows your software was built for.
And then there's Andre Karpathy's post, which went viral this week. He said programming underwent a discontinuous shift in December. He went from writing 80% of code manually to having AI agents handle 80%. He's calling it agentic engineering.
Karpathy is one of the most credible voices in AI. Former Tesla AI chief, founding OpenAI researcher. When he says a phase change happened, people listen. And he specifically said this wasn't gradual progress, it was a step function. He coined agentic engineering to replace his earlier term vibe coding, because the tools have matured from novelty to professional grade. If the people who build AI are now using AI to do most of their own programming, the implications cascade through the entire software labor market.
So we've got the infrastructure layer spending hundreds of billions, the application layer losing trillions in market cap, and the people who build software saying AI agents now do most of their coding. That's a full-stack transformation.
That's the right way to frame it. The value is migrating from the software layer to the infrastructure layer and the AI model layer. Traditional SaaS sits in the middle, getting squeezed from both directions. The question isn't whether this repricing happens. It's whether the market is getting ahead of itself or still underestimating how fast it's coming.
There's a quieter story this week that I think is equally important. The AI safety researcher exodus continues across multiple labs.
This is a pattern, not an isolated incident. At Anthropic, the former head of Safeguards Research, Marinank Sharma, said, and I quote, "The world is in peril," and announced he's leaving tech entirely to study poetry. At OpenAI, Zoe Hitzig published a piece titled, "OpenAI is making the mistakes Facebook made. I quit." OpenAI also fired its VP of product policy after she opposed the adult mode feature and dissolved its mission alignment team, which is the second safety team they've shuttered. The leader of that team was given the new title, Chief Futurist, which tells you everything you need to know. And at xAI, 11 engineers and 2 co-founders departed as Musk pushed to make Grok more, his word, unhinged.
So this is happening at Anthropic, OpenAI, and xAI simultaneously, every major Western AI lab.
When the people whose job is to keep AI safe are leaving and sounding public alarms on the way out, that's a canary in the coal mine. And it directly connects to the Pentagon story. The commercial pressure to ship faster, remove restrictions, and win contracts is overwhelming the safety functions at every lab. These researchers aren't leaving because the work is boring. They're leaving because they've concluded they can't win the internal arguments anymore.
Couple of quick hits to round out the week. Google released Gemini 3.1 Pro on February 19th. Unusual versioning, a 0.1 mid-cycle release, but the benchmarks are impressive. 77.1% on Arc AGI 2, more than doubling reasoning performance over standard Gemini 3 Pro.
Google is clearly accelerating its release cadence. They're feeling the competitive heat from Anthropic, which still dominates prediction markets with 84% odds for best model. The shift from Big Bang launches to rapid iteration is smart. And separately, Google's DeepThink system actually solved 18 previously unsolved research problems, including disproving a decade-old mathematical conjecture. That's AI making original discoveries, not just answering questions.
And there's a research paper making the rounds that I think deserves attention. Researchers demonstrated that large language models can de-anonymize pseudonymous online users with 68% recall at 90% precision. Matching anonymous accounts to real identities.
Compare that to near 0% for non-LLM methods. The researchers' conclusion was blunt. The practical obscurity protecting pseudonymous users online no longer holds. If you thought posting under a pseudonym gave you meaningful privacy, that assumption has been quietly invalidated. Combined with recent data showing 51% of web traffic is now bots, it paints a pretty unsettling picture of the internet in 2026.
Let's zoom out for the big picture. Aaron, what's the thread connecting everything we talked about today?
There are really 4 forces colliding at once. First, there's an ethics reckoning. The Pentagon standoff, the safety exodus, the distillation theft. The question of whether responsible AI can survive in a market that rewards speed and compliance is being answered in real time. And the answer isn't encouraging.
Second, there's the infrastructure supercycle. Meta's $100 billion AMD deal, NVIDIA's earnings, OpenAI raising $100 billion at an $850 billion valuation, the memory chip crisis. The physical world is struggling to keep up with the ambition. We're talking about energy demands, chip supply, raw materials. These are real-world constraints that can't be solved with better algorithms.
Third, there's the great software repricing, the SaaSpocalypse. Carpathy declaring that AI agents now write most of his code. OpenAI locking in the consulting giants. The per-seat SaaS model that defined enterprise software for 2 decades is being replaced by per-agent economics. $1 trillion in market cap has already evaporated, and we're probably early.
And fourth, there's the geopolitical dimension. Anthropic accusing DeepSeek of stealing its model. The Pentagon demanding unrestricted military AI. Chinese labs open sourcing to set global standards. The AI race is increasingly a proxy for great power competition. With intellectual property, national security, and strategic advantage all tangled together.
What strikes me is how these 4 stories reinforce each other. The government pressures companies to drop safety guardrails. Rivals steal the technology anyway. The infrastructure spending accelerates regardless. And the software industry gets restructured, whether anyone's ready or not. We're past the point where any single actor controls the trajectory. The question now is whether we navigate this transition wisely or just fast.
Big week ahead. We'll find out Friday whether Anthropic holds the line or folds. We'll digest NVIDIA's earnings, and we'll see if DeepSeek V4 finally drops. Plenty to watch.
Never a dull week in AI.
That's your AI in 20 for this week. See you next Friday.